Welcome back to the show, one and all. I'm John Adirola. It is the final day of the week, the final countdown. And of course, we have Brett Ehrlich, who was confusing me in the immediate lead into the show. How you doing, Brett? What is going on?
Joe's the one who sat down with 90 seconds left to show start today, guys. That's what happened.
Why exactly did I sit down with 90 seconds left to show?
Because there's something wrong with you emotionally. I think it's more of like abandonment issues, loner wolfism.
Probably that's gotta be a real thing. But anyway, happy to have you here. Unhappy to realize I did not bring my glasses to the desk, so that could be a disaster. Anyway, we have a lot of news, everyone. A lot of exciting news coming out of a variety of courtrooms scattered across the Eastern Seaboard. And we definitely need to talk about that. There's even more legal news that we're unfortunately not gonna be able to get to on today's show. I already covered some of it in the pre-port. Why aren't you watching the pre-port live? Takes place about a half an hour before the beginning of our show every single weekday live on YouTube. It's a lot of fun. We have an awesome live audience and you could be a part of it. You know what else you could be a part of? The effort to get us our next big award, the Shorty for Best News and Politics Podcast, could be ours and also yours, but only if you vote every single day at tyt.com/vote TDR. Let's make it happen. Screw all those other podcasts, but not really. I'm sure they're great people who care a lot about what's going on. And I want them to continue to do that, but I want to do it with a trophy. Anyway, we have a lot to talk about. Please send us your comments, your tweets, or super chats. One of you just might earn a Blue Apron gift card as we do this thing. And for those of you watching us live on YouTube and on Twitch, we're going to be throwing away our garbage people of the week. And I have a real garbage person today. Like as I read the story that we're gonna break down, I was shocked like five separate times at what I was reading. And so that's coming up. Now, if you're on the podcast, you're like, but I'm not gonna hear that. But you could go to youtube.com/thedamagereport and it'll be up soon. Anyway, with that said, Brett, you ready to do this thing?
I'm so excited. I'm so excited, John.
Me too.
My God, I just wet my pants.
Okay, we're gonna run a video. So maybe you have time to switch them out for new pants. And here is that opportunity.
This is Ring Ring, what happened to Gilbert with Unity. I heard the argument there was Ring Ring. I listened to it last night. I thought it was really great. I thought the judge's questions was great. And all presidents have to have immunity. It has nothing to do with me. Absolutely nothing.
Has nothing to do with him. That's 100% a lie. The arguments were great. That's 100% a lie. But what's not a lie is how he feels, Donald Trump. See, everything he's saying is a lie. But the reason he's saying it without a scowl on his face is that he is actually happy about what happened. Not happy because he thinks it's actually setting a good precedent that any president going forward would be able to commit literally any crime they want and get away with it. Not because he believed that his lawyers did a good job. They very much did not. But because it really doesn't matter what job they do, because it's already delayed some of the federal trials against him. This consideration by the Supreme Court of the farcical idea of absolute presidential immunity. And even though they didn't do a very good job, it looks like he might get even more of what he wants, which is just a delay. He wants a denial of the ability of the American people to know whether he committed the crimes he is alleged to have committed before Election Day. And if he gets to Election Day and somehow wins, which is very much a real possibility, we might well never find out what actually happened with the classified documents and on January 6th. So how did we get here though? How did we get to the point where he's feeling so emboldened? I want to give you a couple of little insights into how some of the different Supreme Court justices are thinking about this and some of the insane statements they're making, starting with Clarence Thomas.
In not so distant past, the presidents or certain presidents have engaged in various activity, coups or operations like Operation Mongoose when I was a teenager. And yet there were no prosecutions. Why? If what you're saying is right, it would seem that that would have been ripe for criminal prosecution of someone.
Now that is an insane argument to make for like three simultaneous reasons. First of all, yes, he is right that presidents have engaged in coups or whatever. Importantly, they hadn't generally done it here. And I don't think, call me a radical, I don't think we should be overthrowing any governments, but I particularly think we shouldn't overthrow our own. But even if you don't care about that, you might say, well, Clarence Thomas, who shouldn't even be hearing this, he should be recusing himself from all of this stuff having to do with January 6th, is at least acknowledging that we have done things like an Operation Mongoose trying to overthrow the Cuban government or whatever. And he's saying, well, then why wasn't there charges there? But that is not what he is debating right now. It's not about whether there should have been charges, it's whether there could be charges. I would say the reason there weren't charges in all these cases where presidents did clearly insane, unethical, immoral, and possibly illegal things is because the system has always been set up to protect those in power, to let them do whatever they want, law and constitution be damned. The question right now is whether Clarence Thomas is going to be a part of that. And so we have more, we have a lot more, and it gets even crazier. But Brett, what do you make of that?
I didn't, no one expects Operation Mongoose. No one expects Clarence Thomas to talk. Clarence Thomas notoriously for decades didn't say any words during these moments. He was the guy who just sat there and didn't ask a single question because he's this stupid. Like, so that him saying, yeah, if we presidents have engaged in coups, that's like saying presidents have shot guns. It's like not American people. That's I've shot guns, but there's like a difference between a firing of a gun and shooting at a person. The same way there's a difference between a coup trying to, you know, Cold War us out of the Cold War and trying to overthrow the American government. But kudos to Thomas for making this coup sound cool by equating it essentially, implicitly equating it to an operation with a cool name. This coup was a bunch of idiots trying to overthrow the government in person and a bunch of phone calls. It was a boring ass coup, but that doesn't make it any less of a coup. A bunch of boring ass recordings of Nixon got him in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And it does have a cool name. Operation Mongoose is cool. It is real, by the way. It might sound made up. It might sound like one of my stories that I write or whatever, but no, it is actually real. I would have, like, obviously, we're not allowed to ask questions there, but I would have loved to ask, like, follow up question to Clarence Thomas, like, hey, maybe if there had been charges after those other coups, we wouldn't have had ours. And if you believe that, then maybe we could project forward that if you don't allow there to be charges in this one, why wouldn't there be another? Just, like, that's sort of that's the thing that's hanging over all of this. If you decide that they can't be charged for anything, how in the hell do you think that that will not lead to more criminality?
Well, just basically to give people an idea of what the hell is happening, like this portion of the judicial system is like when it's the Supreme Court. It's like when Neo finally has a conversation with the architect in the Matrix series. Like, it's a bunch of driveling philosophical nonsense that essentially will end up dictating how our universe is structured.
Yeah.
That's 100%. What it is. And so a lot of these, there's a lot of options at the disposal of the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court in this scenario is supposed to ask questions that will end up factoring into whatever decision they make to proceed, to kick it down, to say no offhand, or just to actually have that actual case heard, you know, before them.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot of these weird philosophical questions, many of which are either like ways that these Supreme Court justices can kind of make you think they're on one track or another. But just remember that these Supreme Court justices were selected in a farm system, essentially, to go to the major leagues, which is the Supreme Court. And it had nothing to do with whether they were really good in this portion of the conversation. Yeah, it's whether they will make the decisions they were always already chosen because they would make them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's see what you make of this next argument, okay? Because the we've always cooed is a weird avenue to go down. But obviously, the question of assassinations has lingered over all this as well. Take a look at Justice Sotomayor.
If the president decides that his rival is a corrupt person and he orders the military or orders someone to assassinate him, Is that within his official acts that for which he can get immunity?
It would depend on the hypothetical, but we can see that could well be an official act.
He could, and why? Because he's doing it for personal reasons. And isn't that the nature of the allegations here? That he's not doing them, doing these acts in furtherance of an official responsibility. He's doing it for personal gain.
I agree with that characterization of the indictment, and that confirms immunity, because the characterization is that there's a series of official acts that were done for an unlawful.
No, because immunity says even if you did it for personal gain, we won't hold you responsible. How could that be?
That's an extremely strong doctrine in this court's case law in cases like Fitzgerald.
Well, we go back to Justice Thomas's question.
Yeah, and there's more jibber jabber like that. And it's similar to before this got to the Supreme Court, these sorts of conversations at the appeals court level. When someone asks you, should the president be legally allowed to murder their political rivals? There is only one correct answer, which is no. Sorry. You could also say hell no. That would also be acceptable. Anything else you say, even if you cloak it in big time words, high dollar vocabulary, is utterly unacceptable. And I see a lot of people, defending this immunity doctrine. People on Fox News that would tell you they're perfectly comfortable with absolute immunity. Jesse Waters saying this should not scare you. I wish I had the opportunity to ask Jesse Waters, can Joe Biden kill you? Can Joe Biden gun you down? He gets a flamethrower, he storms into the Fox News studios, and he sets you on fire. Can he do that and be legally protected? I would assume Jesse Waters does not believe that. I mean, I would assume that none of the people on Fox News or the larger right-wing media world actually believe that Joe Biden should have immunity to do literally anything. They just want the Supreme Court to come up with some way that Trump gets it. And even that is kind of an evasion, because at the end of the day, they don't need to do that. They don't need to give Trump immunity, even though there's been some signs in the Supreme Court argumentation that implies that they might be willing to do some version of that. They just need to waste time. And we'll have more to say on that. But I want your brief thoughts about the assassination portion of this.
The assassination portion is an insane argument made by someone who thinks he can get away with it. He thinks he can get away with it because he's in front of a wildly conservative Supreme Court. Like, it's a crazy thing. Like, there is a Potter Stewart famously said in the obscenity case before the Supreme Court, when it comes to pornography, I know it when I see it. That's something we all really identify with. Like, what is a coup? I know it when I see it. Should the president be able to just do anything they want and be immune from prosecution? No. Baked into the argument from Trump's lawyers at the previous hearings in a lower court was this idea that there is a way to convict him. It's just going through an impeachment hearing. But none of that, you'd have to be impeached and then out of office. And then once he's out of office, maybe those things. But that's a completely different process. And the Trump's defense guy has gotten out, kind of bypassed all the problems. What they're all trying to do right now is delay. The scaredy cat justices are trying to delay. Trump is trying to delay until after the election, because this is a federal case. And if Trump wins the presidency, then he will be able to pardon himself and none of this will matter.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. There's so much about this that is just so fundamentally fake. And like, we totally get why Trump is engaging in the fakery, the buffoonery and all that. We get why his legal team is doing that. We get why Jesse Waters is doing that. And we're going to show you some of other Fox News people doing that. We get all of that. None of that should be surprising. And indeed, perhaps even this last group shouldn't be surprising, but I think it should still be noted. The Supreme Court should not be playing ball with this insanity. And they are. The Supreme Court might or might not be so utterly corrupt that they will give Trump legally what he wants. But they've already given him what he wants. And they knew when they took this up that that's what they were doing. Okay, and thus it's on the media to make sure that everyone understands it. Obviously, the media has a lot to do to let people know about the stakes in this election. The Supreme Court obviously is one of those stakes. But this is just another one of the massive reminders that it's not even like how the stakes in the Supreme Court used to be important. Because this Supreme Court has no shackles left. No precedent will hold them. No philosophy, no prior statements. Nothing will hold them. They do literally whatever they want. and they're doing it right now.
If I'm for President Trump and I watch this, I'm actually feeling quite good about what I learned about, let's say, Justices Kavanaugh, what I learned about Alito, what I learned about Thomas, and I would add to that list Gorsuch, and here's why. They both brought up Kavanaugh and Gorsuch, and it was unclear where they stood before this moment, but they both brought up the issue of remanding, meaning sending this back to the lower court for more proceedings.
So that is Kayleigh McEnany, a person who is to the deepest recesses of her soul, a propagandist. That's why you're seeing her right now, is because she was good at telling lies for the powerful. Okay, she did it in the White House. Now she's doing it on Fox News. She's doing it right there. Now, she's not lying in that that's what the Supreme Court is talking about. Yes, they are talking about remanding it, sending it back down to a lower level for more specificity. But why are they doing that? Because they want more specificity? Because it demands more specificity? No, it's a delay tactic. The Supreme Court knows that that's a great way to delay it, even more than they already have. They don't even need to do that. If they literally stop right now and come out tomorrow with, come on, we're not going to do the immunity thing, we still likely would not have a resolution to some of the most important cases that are facing Donald Trump. If they delay a long time before announcing their final opinion, that will almost certainly doom it. Remanding it is like, that's just a bonus. That's just the cherry on top at the end of the day. And importantly, Kayleigh McEnany knows every single aspect of that. She knows wholly why they might do that and what effect it would have. But again, she's a propagandist, so she's pretending not to understand that. Brett, thoughts?
Yeah, they're actors. That's their job, especially on Fox News. Anyone who hasn't seen that doesn't get it. Here's what's sad about it, is there's this magic dynamic that just kind of seeps and seeps. And it starts off as obviously stupid to all of us as ever, but somehow the things that Kayleigh McEnany says make their way into other news people's framing subtly at first. And then it's just like this given. And then the other side is so warped and detached from reality that it ends up like ruining the entire recipe for how we're supposed to have like the fourth estate be reasonable and focused on truth. There's just a bunch of psychos on various ends of the spectrum yanking it apart. And then it gets torn. But for this, yeah, she's kind of right. It is good for Trump. There is talk of remanding it. She's definitely trying to spin it in a way that sounds less dastardly, but like I don't expect more from her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And she can do it because, of course, the audience doesn't expect more. They don't want more. They want the lie.
She's very pretty and wearing a suit. You know, like 100%. That's what it is.
And she tells lies in a way, like she doesn't tell the lie the way, like, you know, a Marjorie Greenwood or an Alina Haba would. She makes it sound better. She makes it sound more dignified. That's why she's doing well in her career as a mouthpiece for fascists. That's why she's as skilled as she is and is benefiting from it. And yeah, the absolutely massive lies. And you're right about the yanking apart and everything. And I'll just take a brief moment to remind everyone, I apologize that I sometimes do this. Especially if you're new to politics, you might think, well, there's some things that have to work in our system. You know, the law has to work. Congress has to function. The Supreme Court has to function. The media needs to function, because while there's obviously, you know, a big difference between what, you know, a hardcore Democrat believes and a hardcore Republican believes, they're all trying to get things done. And so they all need the system to sort of work. No, that's not true at all. Yes, they technically believe different things, but the need to accomplish things is not evenly distributed across the political spectrum. Okay, it's not even evenly distributed if you include the Democrats. There are people who desperately want things to change and problems to be solved. And there are on the right things that they say they want to do. But there's not a desperation. There is not a need. They're perfectly happy for Congress to be absolutely deadlocked for the next two decades. They're happy for the court system to not work. The court system is a potential check on the wealthy and powerful. They don't want any of these things to function. And so just understand that asymmetry. Do we have... Let's play one more clip and we'll give a brief response.
Think about this. Can the Trump 47 Justice Department charge President Obama for capital murder for his extrajudicial drone strike of two American citizens, including a minor? Can the Trump 47 Justice Department charge President Biden for his illegal mass parole of illegal migrants into our country and the resulting crimes? Do the Democrats really want to go down this path?
I mean, I can't speak for all Democrats, and I assume most do not, but if the path is that presidents would face consequences for the crimes they commit, Yes, sign me up for that. Now, by the way, that doesn't mean that literally anything you pull out of your ass qualifies his illegal parole of migrants. You're just saying nonsensical racist stuff that you think that the audience will like. But you know, if Obama killed some US citizens extrajudicially, then yeah, there should probably be consequences for that. Wait, are you saying that you don't think there should be consequences for that? Does Laura Ingraham not think there should be consequences for that? If Obama were to have drone struck a couple of CPAC members, I should hope they'd think that's illegal. Again, like they're throwing out these things as if they're supposed to be like apocalyptic foreshadowing or something. No, everyone should face the constraints of the law. And I think we'll all be better off, not only when that has happened, but when future presidents fear the possibility of that happening. And it doesn't mean that the president won't be able to do plenty of things. They'll engage in wars, they'll do all sorts of stuff, but they have to do it according to the Constitution and according to the law. That's what we've always pretended they've done. And I'll throw out one last thing and we'll get your response. One of the points that the absolutely impotent and irrelevant liberals on the Supreme Court right now, who have nothing to do with where this goes in the end, pointed out was, if you're immune to all of these challenges, why was Nixon pardoned? What was the point of that? If he could never have faced legal consequences anyway, and that was election related stuff, like Trump stuff. So why did there need to be a pardon? They want to pretend that we've always assumed they were immune. Jesse Waters has said that specific thing. No. It's never been tested by the Supreme Court. But the vast majority of Americans did not go through their lives from birth until today believing that the president can cap someone in the back of the head and just walk away scot-free. Final thoughts go to you, Brett.
Well, the direct reason that Ford pardoned Nixon was because he's just like, enough, I'm ending it. Mm-hmm. It's over, stop. Because there's the things that are written in the law, there are things that are codified, there's precedents set by the Supreme Court. But there are also the things that, as people with respect for the idea of America, there's things you don't do. And Trump did them. Like the question about, I mean, with the clip you played, the first guy goes, real actual constitutional question in the Obama extrajudicial killing drone strike. Then a nonsensical, like weird fake fact that's just like a turd burger they've been cooking up inside Fox News falsely for years and years and years. It's just a turd burger. And then he goes to crazy town and it's that easy. Yeah. But for this, like, and he said the quiet part loud. He's like, we're just going to go out and arrest people for nothing, for arrest former presidents for things that we feel like they should be arrested for, but aren't actually based in the law. And also, guy, after that, there would be a trial. We do that. We do the, should we prosecute people and convict them all the time? Because at that point, if you're a citizen, that's what happens to normal people in society. And he wants the president to be above the law. But I just need people to walk away from this with one thing. Trump did something that not even Nixon would do, that like nobody would do. Nixon tried to cheat along the way and get secrets and he stole stuff. But like he didn't say, stop democracy now.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, you're 100% right. It was that line. And because everything gets normalized, sometimes we need to stop and acknowledge that line. We did it earlier this week with some of the stuff that happened during the pandemic, even though nobody watched that clip. And we're doing it now in terms of the death of democracy. 100%. We live in insane times. Utterly insane times. Anyway, I had more that I want to say about the guy on Fox News, but we're going to move on, okay? Because there's other legal stuff we need to get to. So we're going to take a short break, but don't go anywhere. We're going to be talking about the hush money trial after this. Throughout the week, the hush money trial has been proceeding, and David Pecker has been kind of the main character of this week. The head guy at the National Enquirer, big guy in the catch and kill scheme slash conspiracy as it's being presented by the prosecution, has been testifying, and there's been interesting stuff coming out. One of these things is what Trump was most worried about, to get into his motivation for killing these stories. Why was he worried they would come out? Apparently, Trump feared for his campaign, not for his family, as the sex scandals were caught and killed. Now, if this just seems salacious, I understand why you would think that. And if that was the reason, I'd be perfectly happy to talk about it. But it also does go to his motivation, because some people have claimed that it's not a campaign finance violation to do the hush money payments to stop the story from coming out if you're primarily worried about saving your marriage rather than your presidency. Now, that is no longer a really relevant legal fact for this, because that's not what he's being charged for. It's not the same as Michael Cohen. But if you do want to understand the motivation, this certainly gets to it. And David Pecker's a guy he was talking to. He was friends with him for literally decades. And apparently, throughout his friendship, before running for president, Trump was mainly worried about his family hearing about these kinds of stories. Considerations of how it would hurt his business reputation, things like that, was not a big part of it. But in the months before the 2016 election, he really only cared about how it would affect his voters. And David Pecker testified prior to the election, a negative story was coming out with respect to Donald Trump. And we spoke about it. He was concerned about Melania and Ivanka, what the family might hear or say about it. He did not seem to care if Tiffany lost respect for him as a result of one of these stories, only the important ones. Anyway, in the conversations with Mr. Trump about these stories, the ones now directly relevant to the case, his family was never mentioned. I thought his concern was with the campaign, and obviously enough concern that they had this ongoing relationship, that they dished out hundreds of thousands of dollars. And so that's sort of what was going on behind the scenes. We'll see what effect that has on the jury. We know that there are some facts that the jury will not hear having to do with sort of considerations around the family, like the timing of the affair, how close it was to Barron Trump being born, all of that. But this could potentially hurt him in the eyes of the jury. Brett, what do you think?
You know how I feel like about this. Like, just overall, a hush money hearing, like, A, is hilarious to me because it's just so on the nose. Catch and kill by a president and various people aligned with the president to essentially take real news and hide it, the hush money, and keep things out of the news in a time when Donald Trump himself laments fake news. Like, that's the gift that keeps on giving. This is basically, he's actively, a guy who's so against fake news is wildly for eliminating real news. Mm-hmm. I also love that the guy's name's Mr. Pecker. It's like so on the nose.
100%. Don't do the thing you just did. Anyway, you know what? Forget. Let's move on. This is run another clip. I don't want to think about that anymore.
They want to put you in prison. And the most shocking thing I've seen in a long time, Benny Thompson, who tries to come off as this avuncular kind of wise man, you know, from the January 6th committee. He wants to put you in prison without Secret Service. I don't know if you've seen this. I don't know if you've reacted to it yet, but he's got a proposal that would terminate Secret Service. Now, I don't think you're going to jail, but let's face it, theoretically, it could happen. He wants to deprive you of your Secret Service if you go to prison. These Democrats want you dead. You realize that.
Greg Kelly is now getting his talking points directly from Marjorie Taylor Greene. To be clear, again, I will say what I have said many times now. I have no interest in Donald Trump being killed. I can only speak for myself as a Democrat. I'll leave the others to comment if they choose to. But I do think that people who commit crimes should suffer the consequences. And if that means going to jail, then that means going to jail. Now, we can have a debate about whether he should have Secret Service or whatever. But in terms of context for that debate, let's bear in mind that Donald Trump is going to be in the fancy pantsiest ass jail that you've ever seen in your life if he ends up in one. He's not going to be shivved in the back by like a melted down toothbrush. Let's just be very clear about that. That's my answer to what Greg Kelly said. Here's what Trump had to say.
Yeah, because I'm the one that turns things around. I'm the one that had the best economy in history. I'm the one that had the best border in history. I'm the one that had the low energy prices. And we were respected all over the world. And we were doing things like nobody's ever done. And we had the best economy ever.
Okay, there were a net loss of 3 million jobs by the end of his presidency. I know that everybody likes to just forget 2020 and what happened, but that was not the best economy in the world, and we're now doing better, thank God. Even if you're not talking about the real economy, you're just talking about like the rich person's economy, the stock market or whatever, it's doing way, way, way better than it did during Donald Trump's presidency, just to be clear. That was just the beginning of his attempts to distract from what they were talking about. He went off about oil and EVs and the Green New Deal and a whole bunch of stuff, but he eventually got back around to the stuff he likes the best, the spicy stuff. Listen to this.
They are trying to put you in jail. No, my question is, you were asked about that. You said, look, these are good people. I don't want to hurt them. And I kind of thought that was a very honorable thing to say. What happens if you become president again regarding them and the rest?
Well, let me tell you, I didn't want to. I thought it would be a terrible thing. And there were opportunities, obviously, and good, strong control. Everything was good, but I did not want to. And I thought it would be a terrible thing for our country. They don't care. These people are radical lunatics. They don't care. And they have to be very careful with what they're doing because it comes back to bite. And you're right about it. I had plenty. I had putting her, that would have been a horrible thing to do, I thought. But they don't mind doing it. And you're talking president, not, you know, the, well, look, the wife of Bill Clinton would not have been a nice thing to do. But I felt that way. I really did. I felt that way. And she was quite nasty. And by the way, to this day, she talks about the election. Nobody goes after her. They go after conservative Republicans. They go after Christians.
Yeah, she conceded within one day. I'll just keep reminding people of that. And so the guy who used to get applause for baselessly arguing that he was going to lock Hillary Clinton up, then gets found to have committed all these crimes. So then the right has to pretend that even talking about locking people up is unacceptable, even though they loved it when Trump was doing it. You have that guy, Greg Kelly, who is like if a fascist was a hippo, he'd be one of the little birds like eating at the skin of the fascist. He's saying, hey, they're trying to lock you up for all these crimes that I won't talk about the details of because it looks really bad for you. What are you going to do? What are you going to say that you're going to lock them up for what? Who knows? We have no idea, but just say you're going to lock them up. And of course, Trump goes off on that because that's the fantasy that he likes to spin for his side. Democrats should be locked up, even though we can't say what the crime is. And Republicans should go free, even though we've seen all of the crimes being committed with our very eyes. Brett, what do you think?
They don't want felons to vote. He wants felons to have Secret Service protection.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
He's doing an impression of Donald Trump to Donald Trump. Like, I don't know if you've seen this show, The Office, but that's Andy's whole approach to when he first comes to the Scranton branch and everybody hates Andy. He's always everybody's least favorite character on The Office because he just wants to do like personality mirroring and all they're doing is, you know, these, as I called them previously on the show, salacious be dumbs out there that are just like, let me just eat up all the crumbs off your chin.
100%.
I was thinking like there's, you know how they have second audio programming and you can generate like the captions at the bottom of the screen for those who are hearing impaired. You have English, I'm sure, Spanish, and then like Trump ball gurgler. And the whole thing is just the sound of Greg Kelly going, just pushing the mushroom out of his face. That's Newsmax. Sorry.
This show was fun while it lasted. Even once you said the thing, I was thinking, surely he won't do a sound effect.
And you type it. Someone has like one of those little folks. Pads. From the the stenographer pads, and they're like, burr, 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 burr.
What am I going to do with money?
And I'm doing this satirically, obviously, because it's that obscene. This is obscene, and people need to recognize just how obscene it is. When Trump got elected, I said he'd be like a fart in a room, and people would walk in from other countries and be like, it stinks in here. And we're like, oh my God, I've got nose blind to it.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Now, I don't want to think about what you said before. Yes, as people are pointing out, award-winning show, The Damage Report. I hope that the shorties aren't watching this because we're not going to get that award then. But anyway, I do want to fact check you on something, not having anything to do with that stuff. There's a worse character on The Office. I don't want to name names because I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but there is a much more annoying character than Andy. But anyway, we're going to move on to one other little thing. I'm going to ignore the tweets. We'll get to that at some point. But today was a holiday, and I just thought it was worth mentioning. Take a look at this video.
Thank you very much, everybody. Appreciate it. I want to start by wishing my wife, Melania, a very happy birthday. Be nice to be with her, but I'm at a courthouse for a rig trial. It's a rig trial, terrible. But we're doing very well in this rig trial. Everybody knows it.
Oh, yeah. No, he really wishes he could be there. And much more importantly than that, she really wishes that he could be there. It just ruins her big day that Trump is on trial. And not just because he's on trial. Let's remember the context of why he can't be there for her birthday. He can't be there for Melania's birthday because he is currently on trial for the hush money payments he paid to cover up the affair he had 2 months after she gave birth. Which is not a great thing to have to say about anyone. The fact that it's almost certainly true in every detail is even worse. I think that she's probably fine right now without seeing him while this trial is going on. I didn't even need to qualify that. She'd probably be fine either way. But in particular with the trial, the way it's going, I think it's probably best this way. And also, even if he wasn't on trial, do we think they'd necessarily be seeing each other? Just a flashback to 2018. I was reminded by one of our producers about this. He was once interviewed that he had been too busy to get Melania a good birthday gift and worried maybe I didn't get her so much. Great husband. He's just a prototypical husband. He's exactly what every man should hope to be. Brett, what do you think?
Her present is that he can't be there.
That's it's pretty good.
America, the Justice Department got her a present. How many times have we seen her just smack the hell out of his hand when he tries to hold her hand for appearances? Who would be happy being married to Donald Trump just on the smell alone?
Ugh.
Like, people are saying he stinks. Like, he's a stinky man. And he's so mean and he's cheated on her. There is a trial pending happening where he paid hush money to someone he cheated on her with while she was pregnant. He's like, she's like, the reason that I got pregnant was because I didn't want you to have any more sex with me. I would just be like, oh, it hurts. I'm sorry. That's why I did it. They fulfilled my contractual obligation. She's Persian now.
I thought that this was better than the other thing. And now I don't think so.
But like,
I want to set that aside. Yeah. I want to ask you a question, Brett, because obviously we care a lot about men and the state of men in America. I fear that there could be men who see Trump as a role model and should not, because I'm not saying that he doesn't fulfill what you would want a role model to be from my values. I'm not saying that at all. Even their stated values, he is such a horrible example of it. And I want to ask you, do you think there are young men that might like Trump that think that his is the sort of life, he is the sort of man that they should be and that they should build?
Yes. Like, when people say that Donald Trump's a loser, like, he was the president of the United States. He's got a board game with his face on it, John. So you should love
that I do.
So like, I get it. And it's like, you nailed it with, like, even they will tell you all this, and even the right wingers who profess to be the role models to the same people will tell you, like, don't do the stuff that Donald Trump did, because if everyone in society did it, it would be bad. I can say you can have a relationship with a porn star extramaritally if your wife's fine with it. Otherwise, you're being a jerk. And you can't then say that you're awesome in the best possible way if you're being like Trump. Like, it's just it's not a way to be. Like, there's plenty of ways to be like a cool guy, to be someone who also wins at life without doing the stupid crap he does. It's one way to do it. He's the first person who's been bad enough to be worse than all of the politicians we hated. He was just more explicit about the stuff even they backed away from. But they backed away from it because they never thought it was the right way to be. Like, they never thought they'd get away with it. Getting away with something doesn't mean that it was legal and good.
Yeah.
It does feel better to be different from how he's being, though.
Yes. I have aimed to be for most of my life, even before I thought about him on a daily basis.
But like,
anyway, that's it. We're gonna take we gotta take a short break. We're gonna got more coming up after this. I knew this time how much time we had.
Hey, Brett Ehrlich.
I was paying attention.
Hey, Brett Ehrlich, how's it going?
Hey, Brett Ehrlich, what's up?
Sorry, it was a leftover Chiron from previously. My fault.
It was.
Okay. You just had, no time.
We got two stories. We got to get through these two stories. This one is fun. It's actually an update on something we previously talked about. Let's jump into this.
You know, I seriously don't understand why I have to constantly put up with these dumbasses here every day. Between these ungrateful black kids who can't test their way out of a paper bag, or these teachers who don't get it, how hard is it to get these students to meet their grade level expectations? Lawrence and Ravenel should have never been hired. And don't let me get started on DJ. I'm gonna drag his black ass out of here one way or another. I'm gonna get something to stick. I'm just so sick of the inadequacies of these people. And if I have to get one more complaint from one more Jew in this community, I'm gonna join the other side.
Okay, now that obviously sounds really, really bad. It also was really, really fake. That was not actually real, but it was real news and it was really consequential because that fake recording of a Maryland school principal has led to someone at the school actually losing their job. It turns out that the school's athletic director ended up being arrested in connection with that AI generated audio clip. And if you're a longtime listener or viewer of the Damage Report, this story might ring a bell. We actually talked about this when it first came out. This story was the foundation of Sharon Reed's first ever garbage person. But at that moment, we had no reason other than the fact that it was crazy to believe that it was AI generated. But Sharon still suspected something was off and gave 1,000 caveats that she thought that this could potentially be a deep fake. And we had a great conversation about deep fakes and all that. Well, her intuition turned out to be accurate, and we want to give you the update. So Dazan Darian is now charged with disrupting school activities after the Baltimore County Police say that he created the falsified audio recording of the principal back in January. The clip went viral, obviously was swiftly condemned by the Baltimore County community. The school was inundated with outraged calls, as you can imagine, and needed an increased police presence and additional counselors as a result of it. Now, there's a couple of ways that they eventually were able to figure out this is AI generated. In one, the principal in that fake audio is talking to someone named Kathy. And the reason that's included is to make you think that he's speaking to Vice Principal Kathy Albert. But she spoke to the police and said that they never had that conversation. Now, that doesn't mean that it's true. If she had that conversation and didn't reveal it before the tape came out, that would make her look bad. But it was further looked into because of that inconsistency, and they figured out that it was fake. Now, apparently, Darian created the recording as retaliation against the principal who had launched an investigation into the potential mishandling of school funds. So, in addition to creating the AI tape, being charged with theft, retaliating against a witness and stalking, he has since been released on a $5,000 bond. And what's crazy is you just hope that everyone finds out that this thing was falsified because you know his reputation must have been shredded in the wake of this thing coming out. Brett, what do you think?
He should no longer be the athletic director of that school. But that guy should now be the head, the joint chair of the computer science and literary department, because that was masterfully executed, wondrously, amazingly written. It really hit on every trope of hatefulness, like these people, and if one more, it was just like, oh wow.
Yeah,
it was perfectly done, sir. And yes, if you can lend that support, but I feel like you should lose your job at that school. And now that I think about it, that guy probably shouldn't work at any school ever again. Like, I do kind of a lot of weird stuff with AI. For those of you who don't watch Happy Half Hour Wednesdays, we played an amazing game with some AI generated movie stills. But my God, that guy used it for evil instead of good.
100%. Yeah, it was very convincing. Like, it was maybe a little bit too over the top that made it suspicious, but it sounded real. And get ready, everyone, because this stuff is going to be everywhere. And both the people for whom they're targeted with the fake ones, that will be bad. But for the people who really say stuff like this, they'll just say they didn't. So kind of sucks for everybody. And by the way, you can make this about anybody. So let me just say ahead of time, we do need to be able to pump the brakes and question these sorts of things, as Sharon did when we first discussed this. We all have to employ some critical thinking. And that's why I'm so worried, because almost no one can do that. So I think we're all kind of doomed at this point. Anyway, talking of doom, why don't we move on to our final story of the hour, starting with this. Yeah, kind of got to agree a little bit with the last call that went out there. That all took place at Emory University. And you saw first a student being borne down under the weight of multiple cops for engaging in the sort of protests that have become very common across America these days. Then a teacher, this is a professor, Carolyn Folan, walks up and asks the cop what they're doing. And that obviously is a lethal threat to the life of the cop. So the cop brutalizes her. And I'm glad that she noted and our producer noted that in both of those cases, with the student and with the professor, you have wide expanses of grass, you have a narrow concrete path, and with both of them, they put the person's head on the concrete. They could have moved it 18 inches and been on the grass, but instead, for both the kid and the adult, they suspiciously went for the concrete with their head. Now, they shouldn't have been on the ground in the first place. A person should be able to ask a cop what they're doing without being violated in that particular way. But that's just a taste of what's going on. We will give you more. But we're seeing people being arrested. We're seeing people facing disciplinary action, potentially being expelled for participating in this. And in some cases, also being assaulted. It's students, it's professors. There was in Austin, there was a Fox 7 photographer who was treated the exact same way. And I've never seen any indication that the people that are being treated this way by the cops are posing any sort of physical threat, let alone one that would seem to require that sort of response. It feels to me, and feel free to disagree, there is something about breaking up university protests that gets cops particularly riled up. Maybe I'm wrong. That's the pattern I feel like I've seen. But Brett, you obviously went to university. I'm sure you saw your fair share of protests. What do you make of all this?
Comes a point at the protest where people start getting arrested. This is all off of the through line. Every bit of this is off of the through line, right? There's a point at the protest where people start getting arrested. And there's a point, especially in protests, where you're going to be indignant. You're going to go up against a cop. Cops are taught. I've watched a lot of body cam. That's how every cop arrests everybody. It gets to a point, frequently they say, I'm gonna arrest you, and then they grab and they throw people together. There's tons of different cops, there's tons of different protesters, there's tons of different stuff. John listed like five different things. Each one of those was different in severity, in case, and everything. The one thing that remains, like, everybody does this with everything. They completely lose the point of what the protests are about. They lose the through line of having that discussion as they get caught up in focusing on what you're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to focus on whether certain fringe elements of the protest are being violent. You're not supposed to focus on a bunch of stuff. You're supposed to focus on what you want, which is in many of these places, divestment from things that go money from their tuitions going to Israel. And trying to step up for, stand up and honor people who are victims of senseless violence. And I don't believe that they're throwing those people's heads on the concrete for any particular
reason. You think it was a consequence? You think it was just a coincidence?
That's where they're standing on the concrete. Okay. Like, everybody's on the grass. You get the people closest to the concrete first. I don't like it. I think it's stupid. Okay. But what I don't like is everybody loses focus on the things I just listed when they do all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I get it. There's these kinds of things. Are like, we're going, everybody wants to get it off into something else unless they really care about the situation, and they should focus on the things I just listed.
Good point, Brett. And that is unfortunately all the time we have. We're going to close out the first hour with that. Thank you everyone for watching and or listening. More to come in the aftermath, including the throwing away of the garbage people of the week. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.